Well, hello there, and welcome to the Mill Housing Nation podcast, where we help military families PCS better. I'm your host, Lindsay Litton. Over the next 20 minutes, we're dishing out tips, tricks, and actionable steps you can implement to make your next PCS an easy one. From interviews with military real estate experts to our fellow powerhouse military spouses, we're highlighting some of the major issues that impact military families when they move. And before we get started, a quick shout out to our sponsor, Mill Housing Network. Mill Housing Network connects military families with local military real estate experts all over the U.S. If you're considering buying or selling a home, connect with millhousingnetwork.com or go to Mill Housing Network on Facebook. So let's dive in. Today's guest is a fellow military spouse and founder and president of the Military Spouse Advocacy Network, Veronice Castillo. Welcome, Veronice.
Thank you, Lindsay, so much. I'm very excited to be here. I love the podcast. I'm always listening to it. And, you know, I love what you guys are doing. And I'm pretty excited. Thank you so much for the invitation.
Ah, we're excited to have you. So let's jump in, and before we get to the nitty-gritty of your nonprofit, which I'm excited to talk about, we want to learn more about you personally and your military life journey. So tell us, how long have you been a military spouse and how many PCSs?
So I've been married for 18 years.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. I was an Army spouse when I met my husband. He was in the Army, and then he did the transition to the Air Force. So I was an Army spouse for a couple of years, and then I've been an Air Force spouse for much longer than that, around 16. And, you know, it's been really exciting, the difference of the two branches, the stuff that you get to learn. It's really cool to see the two worlds. But, of course, with that comes a lot of moves. And
uh-huh.
I don't think that I have been moving many times, like many other spouses, but we have moved 7 times. And my husband has deployed a lot, and I think that's why we have been in one place a little bit longer than usual. And what I'm talking about longer is 3 years in one station.
Okay.
And we've done the 2 year here and there, back to back, that kind of stuff. But yeah, it's been 7 moves.
Yeah. Well, hey, that's not too bad. I've talked to some spouses that, you know, they've been in for about 10 years and have 7 moves under our belt. So you guys aren't doing too shabby.
I know. Yeah, it's not too bad. You know, I do feel lucky, blessed that I have only moved like 7 times in all these years. But because I know those that actually move within a year or even within months. And yeah, that is pretty crazy.
Yes. Our journey is always an exciting one in the military, that is for sure.
Very, very, very exciting, yes.
So how has military life personally impacted your career, Veronice?
Oh, my God, you know, a lot. I think that it's been a lot of different aspects of being a military spouse. The one of the things has been leaving everyone behind
mm-hmm.
When you get married. I think it comes with your career, if you're going to school. In my situation, when I married my husband, he's the only one in the military in my family. So I didn't really know what this life was all about. I was just in love. I was just excited. I was getting married. I had no idea what I was getting into.
Did any of us?
I knew my husband was serving. You know what? I think that was before 9/11. That was before all of this. So back then, there was no such thing as, well, you know, we're at war. Your husband is going to deploy. Back then, there was none of that. So I was thinking, well, you know, maybe we're going to be moving, but I was hoping that we will stay in my hometown because that's where I met my husband. Of course, we get married and we PCS right away. So it was the fact of leaving everyone behind, not knowing what this was all about. I was going to school and I was working full time, and now everything was going to change. I had to leave my job. I had to stop school for a while because I didn't know where to go, how to transfer. Back then, the going online to school, it was not as easy as it is now. There was
mm-hmm.
not a lot of resources, or there was not a lot of support for those going to school. And as you know, we're still struggling with those that want to find a job and they want to continue their career because it's really hard. Not all the communities support the military spouses.
Mm-hmm.
It is the opposite. They see you like, oh my God, here comes the military spouse. Don't look at them because they need a job. Don't look at them. Don't do eye contact. So
move on.
So we're still struggling. Yeah, we're just struggling a lot. But back then, it was, I think, a little bit more than right now. So it was so much from struggling at the beginning to finding my way of how am I going to do this? Because sitting down on the chair and crying and being frustrated is not going to fix it. I got to do something. And that's when I started getting involved and doing things, went back to school. I was still working. And I think that little by little, that's how I was able to do it and learning from others and talking to other spouses and asking questions. And, you know, a lot of the times we don't ask questions because we're embarrassed or because we're afraid they're going to say something because we're asking questions. But we got to do that in order to keep moving and learning. And yeah, there was a lot of change. And I think that resiliency, I think that's a word that is being overused. Mm-hmm. But the meaning of the word is very, very important because is resiliency the one that helped us to go through this and, mm-hmm. and bounce back and be able to keep moving forward. And one of the things that I, now that I look back in my life, and I was dealing with resiliency at a very young age, at 16. I was born and raised in Mexico. And at 16, I was already in high school, and my father said, you know what, I'm a U.S. citizen. I want to go back to my country, and I want to take you there because you'll have better opportunities. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, no, I'm not leaving family behind. And all my friends and my school, and it was the end of the world. And I hated my parents forever because they did that to me. But I didn't realize that I was able to overcome that very well. And I was going to school, and it's true, I had better opportunities. And I was, later on, I was happy and thankful that I was here. And I told my dad, you know what, I'm happy that I'm here. Thank you for doing this. And one day I will pay it forward to this country, and I'll be the best citizen that I can be, and I'll do things for others. Never realized that a few years later on, I will marry someone in the military, and I will have the opportunity to pay it forward. And I think that's what I do now as a volunteer, try to pay it forward by helping others.
Well, and I think that's such a good segue into my next question, which is talking about how you founded and the work that you're doing with the Military Spouse Advocacy Network. Because I think this is particularly telling, and now that we kind of know where you've come from, I think it's exciting mm-hmm. to know where you're going. So tell us more about that.
Okay, so I was a new military spouse, just like all of us, and I was lost. I was lost twice. Once when I was an Army spouse, and the second time when I was an Air Force spouse, brand new. And, you know, there was not a lot of mentorship. There was not a lot of information out there to tell you you're a new spouse, this is what is going to come next, even before you PCS to your first installation. I remember asking my husband, and my husband was like, you know, I'm just learning just like you are. I don't know. And my husband was trying to learn his job before trying to bring information to me. So I have the memory very clear, which it was twice. Then throughout the years, my husband gets his first command, and he is a security force. He's a cop in the Air Force. And we're getting all these young, brand-new airmen coming from training with their high school sweetheart, 18, 19, 20-year-old kiddos, and they have no idea what to do. They just left home. We had spouses that were considering getting a divorce because they were feeling overwhelmed because they didn't feel supported. So I was trying to do a lot and trying to mentor these new spouses. And that's how MSAN was born, that I saw the need. I was able to identify a need that, you know what, we're getting all these young people coming to us, but they don't have any support in between. For example, right now, one of our main focuses is basic training. Mm-hmm. We want to provide a mentor, another military spouse, to mentor this brand new spouse from the time they become a new spouse through the time that they PCS. That is vital. That's when they need us. Where mm-hmm. do I get my ID? Where do I find this? What is Striker? Mm-hmm. They don't know anything about this most of the time. They're non-military brats. Maybe they just like me. It's the very first time. It's the very first military active duty member in their family, and they have no idea what to do. So I did some research for a while, and we were losing so many spouses between the black hole of becoming a new spouse to the time that they PCS for the first time because they had no one to talk to. Mm-hmm. So by the time they arrived to the first installation, they were frustrated, they were upset, they were discouraged, they were having all the bad feelings because there was no one there to talk to them or mentor them or mm-hmm. support them, just have someone to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how MSAN was born, because I saw the need that so many spouses needed that. And I was one of them that I wish I had that. And that's our main focus now. That's where we want to take MSAN. Right now, the focus is the training installations, officer schools. We're focusing on basic training, tech school, any other training school. We want to make sure that we provide that service so the new spouses know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And once we are mentoring them, and once we're providing information, and we know where they're heading next for the first installation, we're actually linking this new spouse to their rare readiness center, to their FRG, to their key spouse. That way the support is going to continue even after we kind of let them go on their own to their first installation. We are connecting them to those resources so that they are never alone. There's always support. There's always someone to talk to.
I love that mission, because I think, last week we interviewed with Megan Brown, and Megan Brown is a military spouse minister. And her message, if you haven't had a chance when the episode releases, Veronese, please listen, because yes. She too is creating community. And she feels mm-hmm. that when we can create community and people feel like they have outlets and people to relate to and talk to, that we can then change this experience that people have within our life, within the beautiful life of being in the military community. And so I have to pose this question, because it was something that I thought of as you were describing your work, which I think is phenomenal, hands down phenomenal.
No, thank you.
Love it.
Thank you.
Because you're changing lives. And I know that it probably doesn't feel that way, but I see the vision for it. And it's just going to be phenomenal. So kudos for you for doing the work that you do.
We're excited.
So I have to ask this question. So I know, and I know this from my own journey. Do you see the key spouse, that Ombudsman, as the Navy calls it, these appointed positions that historically have been the center of communication when a spouse moves to a new area, do you see them coinciding with what you're doing, or do you see this as an additional way that people can get connected? And to add on to that, do you see those positions somewhat becoming obsolete?
You know, the way that I see it, I think those two programs are have the greatest potential of the world. I think that they don't have the support that they need.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that they don't have the resources that they need when you are a key spouse,
mm-hmm.
When you even in FRO and then the FRG, all of that. I don't think that sometimes they have the right support and they don't have the right information they need. A lot of the times they have leaders
mm-hmm.
to support their teams all the way, and they're successful and they walk on water. And that group, that squadron is just amazing. And you have others that are just completely the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that MSAN will just be a reinforcer to help them to be successful.
Okay.
I feel that for us, bringing the spouses to them is putting some kind of accountability
mm-hmm.
to the official programs
mm-hmm.
and leaders and spouses to say, look, we're bringing the spouse to you. You need to continue the support, because that's part of their mission.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of the job. It's everybody's job to take care of everyone else. So our program will not be replacing anyone,
mm-hmm.
will not be overlapping with anyone. We are doing the opposite. We are bringing a solid foundation that will bring spouses to them so they can actually do their job. A lot of the times, the key spouses and all the other volunteers are having a hard time reaching out to the new spouses
mm-hmm.
or those arriving to their installation. A lot of the times because of their feelings, a lot of the times because the active duty member don't want them to get close to them, because sometimes they're known by drama. They are known because, you know what, if you say something, they're going to get me in trouble. So we want to change that mentality and that perception to something completely opposite. And the way that we're doing it is because we are reaching out to the spouse from day one. We are not depending on the active duty member to get the link, to make the connection.
Mm-hmm.
We are providing the mentorship to the spouse so that she knows what is true and what is not.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel that this program is actually going to make the other official programs into something that they're going to be able to reach out to the spouses, and the perception and the idea is going to be different than what it is now.
I love that. I love that you're tying, because it very much is tied deeply into the military culture, these positions. And I agree with you that sometimes the positions are underutilized in terms of the support and resources that they have access to. So I think it's wonderful that you're working with them.
Yeah, so it is really cool. You know, I think that that's one of our main missions, that we were able to identify the gap. Now we want to fill it, but we don't want to reinvent the wheel. We don't want to overlap, do any of that, because you know what? There's already a lot of that. There's already so many nonprofits reinventing the wheel, doing the same thing over and over, and we're not filling any gaps when we do that. All that we're doing is like little hamsters going around the wheel, and we're not filling gaps. So you know what? Let's focus, even if it's a small gap, focus on that and fill it and make a difference and work with those that are already there. And to me, that comes with whatever resources we have already available by the installation, by the Department of Defense, by our own individual branches. Use those resources. And if you feel that they're not successful, maybe people do not have the personality to provide the service, you go to your readiness center and you don't get good service, but you know what? We got to do something about it. And by stopping using the resource or discouraging others from using them, that's not fixing the problem. That's just making the problem bigger. So let's go ahead and do something to fix it. Express your feelings, say something about it. And I think that our program somehow, like I said before, is going to put some kind of accountability for those programs and for those that are not doing what they're supposed to be doing. Because my commitment is to bring the spouses to those people that are going to continue the support. So my expectation is that they will do it. If you don't do it, then there's going to be some kind of accountability, because that's your job. So why not do it?
Right. No, I think that's great. I said, I think that it's wonderful that you're pulling all the existing resources together. You're not creating another entity that's duplicating. Filling a gap by utilizing the current resources that we have, which, quite frankly, can be overwhelming. Because there's so many things that are out there, and I hear this constantly from military spouses, is that they don't know where to even start because there's so much information. You go to your Family Readiness Center, you go to the housing office on base, and it's just a smattering of services that you can get access to. And so having a mentor to guide you through that, I think, is wonderful.
Yes. Yeah. You know, and the feedback that we get, the messages that we get from spouses telling us how they feel about it, that they don't feel so lost. And now they're excited about it. We have so many new spouses that after they get to experience this, they want to become mentors. And of course, it's kind of hard to give those spouses the opportunity to become mentors because they're so young, because they haven't experienced enough. But because of that, we're doing something about it. So I think that whenever we go to the next question, or whenever you want me to tell you more about this new program that we're adding, it is going to actually help to even empower more those brand new spouses that want to get their feet in the water and take off and make a difference.
Oh, well, really cool. Well, I love that. So do tell, because my next question is, what is the future goal and how do you envision growing? So it sounds like you've got a pretty good perspective on that growth. So I'd love to hear more about your spouse empowerment.
Yes. So, you know, one of the things that I tell everybody right now, there's so many programs focusing on transitioning from military to civilian. So many resources, so many everything, which is amazing. But how come we're not focusing on transitioning from civilian to military life? How come we're not providing the same education? We're not providing the same resources. Why are we expecting that when they come in, they're going to just walk like nothing and pretend that they know it all? So we're focusing on that. We're focusing on transitioning from civilian to military. We have the mentorship program right now, which is amazing. The amount of spouses contacting us on a daily basis is just amazing. We have a wait list of people wanting to volunteer to become mentors because we're growing so fast, which is amazing. But we still consider that there was a need. There was something else that we could add to our program. And in late September, we're adding two more things to the new spouse program. One of them is a virtual center. Our website is going to be loaded with videos and the monthly webinars that we do, toolkits for them to download. It's going to be full of amazing information. And we're going to add others from what the resources available through the installations and the Department of Defense and that kind of stuff. So that is going to be really cool. The other one is in traineeship. It's kind of like an internship, but it's called traineeship. And what we're trying to do, like I was telling you right now, we have so many brand new spouses that get so excited about the program, and their experience is so wonderful that they want to join us. They want to become volunteers. So instead of us telling them, I'm sorry, you have not been a military spouse long enough, you cannot be a volunteer, we're going to start this three-month internship program. We're going to bring 12 brand new military spouses to the team for 3 months, and they're going to be trained on military lifestyle. They're going to be trained on how to become advocates for their community. Mm-hmm. We're going to develop future leaders.
That's wonderful.
And what we want to do, we want to make sure that these new spouses, are, if they're excited and empowered to make a difference, let's not waste the opportunity. Mm-hmm. Let's give them the foundation they need. They can become volunteers with us or even a paid employee when the time comes. Or they can take that knowledge and experience and excitement somewhere else at their local community and make a difference. Join an initiative, do something, fill gaps. That's what the focus of this new program is going to be.
I love that. And I love that you've got the vision for it and that you're creating job opportunities for fellow military spouses, as you know, is near and dear to my heart. So thank you for doing that. And I'm not surprised that so many spouses are interested in this. So what locations or installations are you currently operating in for our listeners? Because I'm sure a lot of our listeners are excited on how they can connect with this program. So talk more about where you this program exists and maybe where you see it rolling out over the next few years.
Okay. So right now, I think that the best place to go is our website, www.militaryspouseadvocacynetwork.org. We have volunteers and mentors in over 40 different locations. And this is for all the branches, including National Guard and Reserves. I think that it will be an easier way for them to find that information than if I mention all the installations right now. But like I said, it's all the branches, including National Guard and Reserves. Right now, we're focusing on basic training installations. Right now, I'm focusing on Lackland, and something very exciting is coming very soon. And I'll be able to share more news on that. And this is about focusing on brand new spouses coming through basic training. And the future is that we will have this program available at all training installations, and whatever we do online, because we get a lot of requests online, but it will be available for all the spouses at different training installations throughout all the branches.
That's great. I love that.
Yes. And you know what? I think the biggest dream or the biggest picture of MSAN is that we will eventually go all the way down to recruiters. Like I said, it's all about from day one. And I think that that people that go to ask about joining the military, what is available to their significant other, to their fiance, to their new spouse, they need to know ahead of time, this is what is available to them. You worry about you becoming an active duty member. We got your spouse or your significant other or your fiance.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's wonderful. And I think that, like I said, your vision for it and how it can change lives is awesome. So obviously, we can go to your website to learn more. If folks want to connect with you personally to learn how they can become a mentor, join the waiting list, what would you advise folks do?
Yeah, you know, if they want to become volunteers, if they need a volunteer, if they want to become a mentor, if they need a mentor, if they want to learn about what we do, if they want to get more information on the internship program coming up late September, everything is in our website. And also we have a contact us page. Go ahead and get a hold of us. Send us an email. Let us know what you want information on. I will be more than happy to answer those emails. We have other staff. They are also answering information. So just send us an email through the contact us, and we will be more than happy to send whatever information they're needing. Like I said, if they want to become a mentor, if they need a mentor, or any other stuff they might need.
Perfect. And I know you're currently also looking to partner with organizations that have a heart for serving. So if you're a listener and you have an organization that you think would be a good partnership for Veronese, they can also go to the website and connect with you. Yes?
Yes. Or they can send me an email directly at president@malespouseadvocacynetwork.org.
Okay.
And I will be more than happy to talk to them about the stuff that we're doing. And yes, right now, anyone that is sharing our vision, that shares our passion for helping the future leaders, it will be amazing. Just get a hold of me, let me know, and we can work on something together, definitely.
Wonderful. Well, Veronese, it has been a pleasure. Is there anything else you'd like to add so that our listeners can connect with you and learn more about your mission?
You know, I think I was given a great opportunity to share my passion for what we do, to share the vision and the mission. I think I said it all. I think so. But like I said, there's always questions out there, so anyone can get a hold of us, and we will be more than happy. And I'm very, very happy, Lindsay, that I'm here sharing this with you and your audience. And like I said, I'm a big fan of what you guys do, what you're doing with that podcast, because I think that the people that you're bringing on board, the guests, the knowledge, everything that they're sharing with everyone is amazing.
Aww.
Your passion, you can feel it everywhere. So I'm just, it is an honor for me to be here. So thank you so much. It was wonderful. I was so excited to do this.
Oh, well, thank you, Veronese. No, this is awesome. And, you know, in addition to being obviously a fan of the podcast, Veronese is also a client of ours and worked with my team in San Antonio to buy their home. This is a long line of love fest, if you will. So thank you for trusting us with one of the most biggest purchases that one makes. And thank you for joining us today and sharing your personal journey and your story and your passion and mission for serving the military spouse community, which is appreciated. So thank you.
Thank you. You know what? I just want to say pretty fast that my experience with the team when I was purchasing my house, it not only was the best, because I was purchasing a house from D.C. here in San Antonio, and we were so comfortable with the best team ever. But the best thing was not just the house. It was a relationship that we built with the team.
Oh.
It is amazing how we still talk to them and we text them, and you get to talk to them so much that at the end I was like, hey, I miss everybody. Like, I don't talk to them anymore. So those relationships is, I think, the best. That, you know, my house is beautiful. I love it. We had a great deal. It was the best support. But those relationships with you and the team was just is priceless.
Oh, well, I appreciate that.
You're not only buying a dream home, you're actually building the best relationships ever. It's amazing.
Well, it's funny that you say that, because a lot of our clients say, like, you guys become friends. And, you know, your realtor tends to be your first friend in your area. So anyway, we did not pay Veronese to say those lovely things.
No, not at all. But you know what? I had to give my testimony. And I always share it with everybody. And when I get to talk to people here, it's like, oh, my God, you got to talk to them. They're just amazing. And, yeah.
Thank you. Well, to view our show notes from today and for more information on what Veronese is doing, definitely go to our website at millhousingnetwork.com. You're going to want to click on the podcast link and then Veronese's episode. We have, while you're there, actually, you're going to want to take a moment to browse some of our past episodes. Like we mentioned today, we've got some killer past stuff to share. And as Veronese has so greatly mentioned, we've got some good tidbits. You can opt in to work with one of our realtors so you too can have an awesome success story like Veronese. Or you can request to become a guest on one of our upcoming shows. Don't forget, while you're there, you're going to want to also sign up for our weekly podcast alerts or visit us on the iTunes store, because we're super excited to be on iTunes. So I'm Lindsay Linton. I want to thank everybody for taking a moment out of their day to listen to our conversation. And I want you guys to join us next time as we continue to ease your PCS struggles. We're going to have more upcoming information on interviews. You're going to want to go to millhousingnetwork.com to check out who we're interviewing next. And like I mentioned, visit us on iTunes. Subscribe. All right. Well, that's all we have for today. So, Veronese, I want to thank you so much for visiting us today. And thank you for sharing your story. And any way that we can support you, we are behind you. So We want to wish all of our Mill Housing Nation podcast listeners an awesome day, and bye for now.